You've just tuned into The Blitz, a Pittsburgh Steelers fan podcast presented by SteelCityBlitz.com. Real Steelers talk for hardcore fans. All right, everyone, you've just tuned into The Blitz, a Pittsburgh Steelers fan podcast presented by SteelCityBlitz.com. My name is Matt. That's Mark. What is happening, dude?
Where do we begin, Matt? Where do we begin? 0-3 for this football team. They teased us a little bit last night with a potential comeback. They got it to 27-23, and then the wheels fell off again, and so here we are, 0-3, and it is not a happy nation right now.
Yes, the Steelers dropped another home game. They are now 0-3, of course. 40-23 was the final score. The visiting Chicago Bears came in and took one from Pittsburgh. Tons of stuff to talk about tonight. The state of Steeler Nation is just pretty bad right now, dude. I mean, you went. If you're on Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus, whatever, everything you see is just despair, disaster, our Haley, Ben's terrible, you name it, it's everywhere out there. And, you know, honestly, right now, this team is probably in about as big a funk as I've seen them in a long time right now. And, you know, the worst part is, you know, like we've said, how long now? It's there's no quick, easy one or two player fix in this.
No, there sure isn't, and I think a lot of people are expecting that that's what's going to happen. And, you know, I've been chatting with a lot of different people today, and it's just amazing to me the number that really do believe that something will happen over the next 2 to 3 weeks in terms of either a major personnel move or perhaps a coaching move. And some of those are people, you know, I really respect. I just am surprised they think that way, because that's not the way the Rooneys have ever done anything. I don't even remember the last time they made a coaching move in season. And so I would have to go back and check the book, but I think that just speaks to how dysfunctional things are right now with this football team.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, I have an article coming out on the website tomorrow, so I'm not going to get too much into it, but it's just, it's something like you mentioned, the Steeler fans want change and they think that's going to fix everything. And, you know, sometimes it is one or two players here and there, shuffling them around, changing the starting lineup, benching a player, whatever the case may be, that kind of sparks a team and gets them in the right direction. But the problem is that as I'm alluding to right now from this article for tomorrow, there is no, one player fix. And if you want change, be careful what you wish for, because the players that would come in to replace, you know, an offensive lineman or a defensive back or a running back or a quarterback or whatever, there's really nobody on the roster right now that is head and shoulders above what's on the field on Sunday afternoon. And that's the sad part. You know, you can blame bad drafting. You can blame bad free agent moves, just poor play, guys that are not panning out, you know, that are making way too much money, whatever you want to say. You know, just, you know, swapping out one body for another isn't, you know, necessarily the fix here. No matter how much you want to change, you know, it might not be the best thing because there's just nobody else.
No, and you know what? I think a lot of people looked at last night's game and they said, you know, don't overanalyze what happened last night, because, you know, the turnover difference was -5, and that was really, in essence, the ball game. You know, Roethlisberger had the two picks, the one which was returned for a touchdown, and then the other, which was a fumble, which iced the game late. You know, you take those two things away, or let's say you have all five turnovers, and let's say that we find a way to score on two of those possessions, whether or not they're field goals or touchdowns, really doesn't matter, because it changes field position too. It's a different game. But be that as it may, you can't just say that it was the turnovers. This team has significant issues across the board, and it's not just offense. There are issues on defense too.
Yeah, there really is. And I think, I mean, obviously, at least in my opinion, the majority of the problems are on the offense. You know, defensive-wise, you know, William Gay has his usual, you know, two or three game hiccups where he does some kind of a you know, brain fart move, you know, or the defense just isn't tackling. You know, overall, they've kept the Steelers in these games enough or helped to bring them back enough in all 3 weeks that, you know, maybe, that, you know, normally you would assume that the offense and Big Ben would be able to come through with these wins, but they just haven't right now, and you can blame it on them being on the field so much or whatever the case may be. But the fact is that, you know, while there are problems on defense, we know that sometimes the pass rush isn't there, sometimes the secondary doesn't cover. You know, the main issues on this team are offense. And, you know, let's just, you know, if you look at some of the stats right now, you know, if you did not know the score of this game and I told you that Ben was 26 of 41 for 406 yards, 2 touchdowns and 2 picks, and that's all I said, would you, you know, you might think that they won or, you know, at least had a decent game.
Well, you know, he ended up with a better rating than Cutler did, who just had 159 yards passing and a touchdown. You know, I think his rating was roughly 92, and Cutler's was around 90. But, you know, I've been a Ben apologist for a long, long time. I love the guy. I love the way he plays football. I remember seeing him in college and hoping that he was going to end up being a Pittsburgh Steeler. And you know, with that said, I can admit when he doesn't play well. And those stats are wonderful statistics, but there were 3 or 4 plays last night that cost this football team. Now, did they cost the football team ultimately the game? You can make the argument they did, maybe they didn't, but he has to take better care of the football, regardless of how poor the pressure is. I mean, we know it's bad, he knows it's bad, he's got to expect that. And so, yeah, you're right. The pressure, the problems are definitely on the offense here. You know, defensively, what I was alluding to is I think the loss of Larry Foote is definitely affecting this team against the run a little bit. You saw it on Matt Forte's big run last night, where they ran that, you know, the dog blitz. They liked the X stunt.
Mm-hmm.
And it got picked up. Ryan Clark came flying up and normally makes the tackle and completely whiffed. And he's done that a lot the first 3 weeks. And then William Gay, of course, trying to knock the ball out and probably gave up 25 yards on the play.
By
not just tackling him. So, you know, yes, you're absolutely right. This defense has worn itself out trying to keep this team in games and you know, so they definitely deserve praise, but at the same time, they've got some issues too. So it's not a quick fix. It's not going to be, you know, the return of Heath Miller was great to see last night, but, you know, Le'Veon Bell is not going to come back and save this team either. There's just too many problems right now.
Yeah, and there was a little stat that Bill Hillgrove on the Steelers radio network kind of tossed out, like just before they signed off last night after the game. He mentioned, and honestly, I didn't do the math, but it sounded right. Right now, the Steelers are on pace for a minus 37 or 38 Steelers along. it's as funny as it is bad to say. And, I mean, you know, while we all know that eventually, you know, something's going to happen where the Steelers, you know, are going to get a fumble recovery or a pick or something, it just goes to show that, you know, the defense to this date still has no turnover, you know, at all. They have no splash plays. You know, they're keeping them in game simply by the sheer will of stopping them on third down or forcing a field goal, something to just keep the score close. You know, William Gay trying to punch the ball out. Twitter just exploded when everybody was screaming, tackle the ball, calling him every name in the book. And, you know, it's just little things like that that, you know, if he actually just wraps the guy up, you know, that run is maybe 25 yards, 30 yards instead of 55. And, you know, just this team just baffles me right now. So many people that I've seen and talked to just since yesterday and since the season started. As Steeler fans, I think we tend to live in the past a lot. I mean, it's obvious, you know, oh, we got 6 rings, how many you got, blah, 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 all that kind of crap. And, you know, dynasty team of the 70s and this and that. You know, I get it. I'm a big fan. You know, I'm a lifelong fan. But, you know, when you live in that past, you know, that was a totally different era. It was a totally different mentality, different players, different coaches, everything other than the owners was different at that time. And, you know, that team was capable, you know, especially say like the 2005, 2008 Super Bowl teams, or even in the 90s when they didn't make necessarily Super Bowls, but they were always in the playoffs. that defense would find a way to make a stop. The offense would find a way to get a touchdown with whoever was carrying the ball, whoever was quarterbacking. And they just had this Steeler mentality of, this is the Steeler way. We're going to find a way. We've got too much pride to let this happen to us, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And this team right now just does not have that. Now, last night, they finally showed some heart in battling back and, of course, got to within four before it all fell apart again. But that was the first time this year that we finally saw them be able to do something positive and come back, because I know you and I both thought when it's 17-0 in the first quarter, I mean, I almost turned it off. And it's, you know, this team, you know, as I said, it's a different time right now, and these players just do not have the ability or the talent to be able to come back from this stuff consistently and be able to say, you know, to come all the way back from a deficit like that.
No, I mean, they are so how do I even say this? They are on such a fine line between success and failure all the time on offense. It's like a bull in a china shop. You just keep waiting for the horn to hook the base. But, you know, two things that you mentioned, which are fantastic. I totally agree. I think Steeler fans do live in the past too much. I see it all the time in forums and message boards, and occasionally, you know, people that'll write into some of the stuff that we write. You know, you hear, oh, we got to get back to the way it used to be, and this, that, and the other. And it, you know, it's not the way it used to be, and it's not going to be. And so we got to move forward. And then the other thing you said, I think, is, you know, this team does not have an edge. It doesn't have that guy like a Joey Porter. It doesn't have a James Harrison, a Mean Joe Green, you know, a Jack Lambert. It doesn't have that guy that will get in somebody's face. It doesn't have that guy that is willing to yell and scream and to lead through his voice rather than just his actions. And if you look at the championship teams of the Steelers, they have almost always had that guy.
They've always had that guy.
Yeah, and this team doesn't have it. And you know, Troy is who he is, but he's not a vocal leader, and Ben is not an overly vocal leader either. You know, so I, where do you look? I mean, if your offensive line is ridiculously young, you're not going to get leadership there. The running backs are, I mean, crap, you don't know who's in the backfield one play to the next, so they're not much of a leader. I mean, somebody has to step up. And I'm sure Ben does things behind closed doors, you know, based on what I'm hearing he does. But out on the field, you just don't see that raw emotion out of this team. And I know it frustrates the fans. I don't know how many conversations you and I have had with people. It does. It frustrates them because it looks like they just don't care. I don't think that's the case. But it would be nice to see some emotion sometimes.
Well, and that's exactly right. All of those teams, you know, in the 70s and then, you know, for Super Bowl 40 and 43, I mean, there was an emotional leader on that team somewhere, sometimes more than one. You know, during the years of there, or they were a pretty, you know, team that was contending every year. You had Kevin Green and Greg Lloyd. You know, you had back in the 70s Lambert and Mean Joe Green and everybody else. And, you know, modern era, you had Joey Porter. And these are guys that would just get on the field and start screaming in the huddle. And that's what this team was based on, was emotion. I mean, when Joey Porter would come out on the field with a shirt up and start trash talking with Cleveland player, I mean, that just got everybody torqued up and guys rallied around it. Tomlin took over this team, totally different demeanor, got rid of all the vocal leaders on this team and basically said, we're going to lead by example because that's what we do and I expect this and that and out of you. And that's fine. That's the way Tomlin leads it. I get it. Whatever. But, you know, it's just another case of this team is not the team of old, and getting back to Steeler football is not going to happen because this team doesn't have an identity like that. And I'll tell you, quite honestly, Steeler football would not thrive and survive in this day and age. I mean, how many pure running teams do you see that are really all that successful all the time? Everybody's throwing the ball. You know, it's just, I mean, could a Jerome Bettis even survive right now? Could a Barry Foster, anything like that? I think just this whole getting back to Steeler football thing is such a thing of the past right now that the Steelers need to evolve, and they are so unbelievably stubborn and stuck in their ways that they think, well, we've been so good for so long, and now all of a sudden we need, you know, we just need to ride this out and this and that and the other thing and, you know, stay the course and take care of the football or whatever. And it just does not work because, you know, and this just kind of leads into my next point is I put this out on Twitter today, and I got a few responses. I don't know if you saw it, but I said, you know, I heard Collins first say it, and every year everybody seems to say this team has too much talent to be this bad, and sooner or later they're going to claw their way out of this hole that they're in. But my question to you is, and to everybody else, is this team really that talented? Are they that head and shoulders above everybody else, but they're just in a funk right now? And my answer is no, they are not that talented. I mean, Troy's still playing out of his mind. I'm all for it. But look around. Lamar Woodley's finally coming around. Timmons is good. Kiesel's pretty, good week in and week out. But, you know, Larry Footbon, this team is just, and on offense, good God, I mean, without Ben and Heath and maybe Antonio Brown, who else do you have? There's just not that much talent on this team, but everybody seems to think there is. I don't get it.
Well, I think part of it is who and where the talent is. You know, for my money, you know, great teams are built from the inside out. You know, you start in that interior, whether it be the offensive line or the defensive line, and you go from there. And this team is built almost completely the opposite. It's got good skill guys. It's, you know, at the receiver positions, the tight end positions, the quarterback positions. Then you look at the defense and, you know, okay, decent outside linebackers, decent inside linebackers, you know, good safeties. But how great is the interior? We know that Cam Hayward has struggled. We know that Ziggy Hood has struggled. Kiesel's been usually pretty stable there, you know. So I really think that's the core issue here. And plus too, I think Emmanuel Sanders has kind of disappointed, you know, each passing game through the first three games of the season. You know, he started with a number of targets, and I think his targets have diminished each week now. And I think they will with the return of Heath Miller. So, you know, this team does lack talent. There's no doubt about it. And I think even more than that is it lacks guys who make an impact. You know, you look at the Bears, they have these guys that are ball hawks. They just find a way to make plays. And we saw it from Cincinnati and we saw it from Tennessee. You know, we just aren't getting those types of bounces. And again, last night, I think there were two balls on the ground that we probably easily could have had, and it just didn't bounce our way. So I don't know. I don't think we're very talented, and we're especially not talented depth-wise, that's for sure. I mean, we're you know, a couple other injuries to being just absolutely atrocious, really.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, I feel like I have to belabor this point. But I don't know why I do, but, you know, it's just, I see some people who say, well, I'm going to still wear my Steelers jersey on Monday morning, and I'm Steeler proud and all that. Nobody's questioning anybody's fandom here. You know, just because we bitch and complain about this team, or we call it like we see it, you know, however you want to say it, doesn't mean we're not fans. But, I mean, if you can realistically look at this team and say that they're really that good and just not playing well for some reason, then, you know, you need to take off the black and gold sunglasses, because the reality is right now that Ben is playing just really, really not well. You know, for every good play, yeah. Granted, 400 yards pass, an awesome night regardless. And he had some great touch passes last night. But, you know, the interceptions, the fumbles, I mean, he's put in the pocket. The offensive line can't block. You know, the Bears started on their line, three or four rookies, and we have, you know, 2 second-round picks and a first-round pick in there, and they just completely outplayed. Any protection standpoint. I mean, neither team ran particularly all that well. You know, Forte had that big long one, but for the most part, it was kind of, you know, here and there, you know, a nice run by either, you know, by one player or another, and then the defenses would stop them. But Culler had a lot more time to throw, and those you know, rookies of his just really, really stepped up to the challenge, and the Steelers just have not been able to do that. And when you look, you know, through 3 weeks, this team has been, you know, the offensive line has been stable with the exception of Pouncey, who's gone, but the other four guys are still there. And, you know, Velasco's a pretty decent center in there. He can hold his own, you know, fairly well, considering he's only been on the team for a couple of weeks now, or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah, and what does it say about this offensive line when your best offensive lineman was on his couch 2 weeks ago?
Exactly.
He literally has played better than the other four guys on the line.
I know, and it's, and, you know, what is David DeCastro doing? I mean, he just looks like his head is spinning right now. You know, first round draft pick, yes, he's still young, I get it, he needs time to grow, but he is just getting schooled beyond belief. And, you know, it doesn't help that, you know, he's got a turnstile to his right. You know, Gilbert's terrible. Adams is just atrocious. You know, let me just toss, you know, that Tolan has been doing some rotation with the tackles. Obviously, you saw in the game. Would you put Beecham over there with for Adams full time right now?
Well, it's kind of like the old 6-1, half dozen to the other. To me, Gilbert is a little bit worse than Adams because I think Adams still can give you a little bit more in the running game. But I thought the offense looked a little better when Beecham was in there at right tackle and Adams was at left. But it's so disheartening because these guys just don't seem to get it. And I don't know how many times last night you could clearly see after a sack or after a blown play of some sort, the linemen are looking at each other like, who did you have? Who did I have?
I noticed that too.
I mean, that stuff isn't, that should happen maybe once or twice a game, maybe. It's happening a lot. And I'm not going to put it all on Jack McNeil, the new all-line coach, but something is just not clicking. And, you know, I don't know if it's just these guys and their attention to detail. Do they not put much time into it when they're away from practice? You know, what is going on? Because these are able-bodied young men. They should be doing a hell of a lot better than they are, and they're just not.
Yeah, you're right. And it's just, no matter where you look across this, nobody's accountable. Everybody's coughing it up. Tomlin was quick to pull the trigger and bench somebody. He said last night in his post game, when one of the reporters asked him, you know, about Felix Jones not playing much for the fumble, and Tomlin said, well, the game was out of hand at that time, but part of it was the fumble too. And, you know, Dwyer had the one nice run, Ellis, and everybody's thinking he's the greatest thing since sliced bread again. Felix was doing well. He had the fumble. Granted, it was a monster hit, and maybe he didn't see it coming, and yes, you have to hold on to the. It's just the team, they have no identity. They don't know who's going to be running the ball one series to the next, sometimes one play to the next. Things just seem to unravel, and, you know, like I said, critic, and Bonnie showed that they come back. Put a snowball, and, you know, but it's a problem every week, offensive line. I mean, you know, Ben should be used to the pressure by now, but the guy's human. I mean, how can he just not be completely fed up with his offensive line? I mean, he can be cordial to the media and not throw his teammates under the bus once when he's doing an interview, and that's fine. But the guy just has to be so unbelievably frustrated with always running for his life and, you know, not getting time to throw. And, you know, he's got two or three guys with hands all around him when he's trying to run. This whole situation is with Ben right now is just probably the worst I've seen it. And, you know, maybe it sounds like overkill or whatever. I don't know. But Ben is just, save for his rookie year when obviously he was new and didn't know what he was doing, this is the worst I've seen him consistently. And, you know, how many reason for the turnover, the pocket presence, the happy feet, they just, so many things seem to be going wrong with this guy. And, you know, the only way to rectify that is to have blockers, and there's no solution in sight for that either right now.
Well, you know, what's really interesting is we're talking about, you know, kind of living in the past sometimes, and you almost wonder if Art Rooney II isn't kind of doing that, because, you know, you mentioned Ben's rookie year, and this team went 14-1 or 15-1 that year, and of course lost in the AFC title game to New England, but, you know, part of Ben's success that year was because they had a running game and a much more active defense than what we have now. And you just wonder, are they not looking back at that and saying, gee, you know, Ben was so much better back in his rookie year when he had the running game. And, you know, I get that, but at the same time, this guy is not the same quarterback he was when he was a rookie. I go back to 2005, his second year, when he literally threw this team to the Super Bowl. Now, he had a terrible Super Bowl. Everybody knows that, including him. He'd be the first to tell you how bad it was. But he literally threw this team through all three of those playoff games into the Super Bowl. And you know, I still believe that he is the type of quarterback that, does he need a running game? A little bit of a running game, absolutely. Every quarterback needs to have a little bit of a running game. Even the Saints, even Aaron Rodgers benefits from even a little bit of a running game. But I just have to believe at some point, if he hasn't already hit that threshold where he just doesn't have confidence anymore. And you know, you would think because of that, he would hold the ball better. But I just think that he constantly feels like he has to make a play, and so therefore he's a little loosey-goosey with the ball. And I can't say I blame him. He never knows where it's coming from. Is it coming from Adam's side? Is it coming from Gilbert's side? Is it coming up the middle? I mean, he took a couple of shots last night. One of them I thought he was shot. I mean, he went down so hard and so fast, it was like somebody sniped him from the corner of the stadium. I just don't get where he's at right now, and there's every possibility that mentally he's just not there right now.
No, I think it's obvious he's not there right now mentally. I mean, you can just see it in the pocket, and, you know, he's pressing. And Tunchilkin made a point last night in their post-game wrap-up when he was talking with Bill and last night that Ben is absolutely pressing. He's trying to make a play. He knows it's all on him. He knows there's no running game. He knows he has no blockers. You know, thank goodness he had Heath back last night, who didn't play, you know, the majority of the snaps, but he got some in there. And you can see the effect that Heath has on Ben. And it's a serious safety blanket. You know, Heath knows how to adjust and come back for the ball. You know, things like that that those two guys have a rapport with, that, you know, whenever Ben throws to Heath, you know, he knows he's gonna catch it. But yeah, you're right. Ben is pressing so hard right now, and when you press, you turn the ball over. You know, you throw passes high, low. We know you miss wide open receivers, you throw interceptions. And honestly, you know, I really don't know what to make of this team. You know, if somebody says, you know, we're gonna go, and only win three games this year, who am I to argue with it? Because if I go back to, well, the Steeler pride says we're going to at least win 7-8 games or whatever, there is none of that right now. This team is a new team, and you know, I hate to belabor the point because we're not really covering the game all a lot, but you know, I mean, we all know what happened. The game was what it was last night. There were some bright spots here and there, and we'll cover that a little bit. But I think just trying to analyze this team, you know, there is no... You know, I just don't see them being able to pull anything out of their hat like they did during those Super Bowl runs, because they don't have the defense. They don't have any threat of a running game at all. Ben is a completely different player right now. The coaches have changed. They've decided to run more. Well, then they want to throw more. Well, then they throw to one receiver, not the next one, and this guy's hurt, and then that guy gets hurt, and they can't block. And I don't have any faith in this team right now that they can climb their way out of this and really make a run for it. I mean, face it, 0-3, we're not making the playoffs. I mean, we get, unless we rattle off 13 straight wins, and we all know that's not going to happen. It's just reality of this league right now. Now, I think the Steelers are going to win the game eventually, and, you know, maybe they pull a few out of their hat, they get to 500, but just the way that the league is right now, you wonder how long they're going to be hold on before Ben finally just literally snaps. I mean, he snapped a couple of times this year, but he can't have any faith in this offense at all, no matter what he tells the media.
No, I don't think he does. I don't know how he could. He's a good guy, and he's saying all the right things behind closed doors, and he's saying all the things, at least as far as we know, into the press too. You know, he's not going to throw these guys under the bus, because that's not going to help the situation. And look, he knows he can't turn the ball over. He knows he's got to be able to play better. But when you mount that type of pressure on a guy, you basically have no running game. You limit his weapons offensively. You know, there's going to be pressure on him, and therefore, yeah, I agree with Tunch. He is pressing, and I don't think that we could blame him. But it's just frustrating, and you know, I don't think either of us intended to sit down tonight and try to go through a kind of a mid-season review already. We'd much rather be talking about the game, but I think that's where we are at. I mean, it's almost like we have to do a state of the Steelers address, because this thing could get really, really bad. If they go 0-4 next week in London, you're looking at a bye week, and then you got the Jets, who looked like an easy W 3 weeks ago, but now I don't know. They got two wins, and then you got the Ravens coming in. So, I mean, this thing could get really, really bad, or a win over in London, maybe get them out of the city for a week. Maybe that turns them around. Because the AFC is not so dominant, with the exception of maybe Denver, I still think there's a chance. It's a small one, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to see through black and gold glasses here. I think there's still a chance, but they got to win. They got to win on Sunday, and it's got to continue for a few more weeks. But there's just, like we said, there's just so many things to cover.
Yeah, there really is. And I mean, there were a few bright spots. I mean, obviously Antonio Brown was just a machine last night. You know, 9 catches, 196 yards, 2 touchdowns. Just that one diving touchdown with the one hand was just a thing of beauty. I think it's one of the better catches I've ever seen in all my time of watching football. It was just amazing to drag the feet, get the hand down, or, you know, get the one hand out to catch the ball. You know, it's plays like that, you know, that you would then normally think that, you know, gets the team fired up and, you know, we're back on track. We're going to come back and win. Ultimately, it didn't, but still, I mean, to acknowledge Brown was just amazing last night. Heath Miller's presence, even if he only had 3 receptions for 35 yards, you could see the comfort level with Ben when he was in the game. Troy's playing well. There was some pressure last night from Worlds and from Woodley. Kiesel, I believe, had a sack. So, you know, there's some good things going with this team, but the problem is that it's few and far between, or it's not enough, or it's not at the right time. And it's disheartening because the guys that are playing up to their potential or doing all they can, there just isn't enough of that going around right now. But let me bring up something. And it's, you know, I mean, I've always liked Jonathan Dwyer. I don't hate the guy, but I don't think he's as good as everybody seems to think he is. Did you hear Collinsworth going on and on like he was the greatest thing since sliced bread last night? Now, granted, the one touchdown, he picked up the blitzer, and you know, that allowed Antonio Brown to score, so I get it. And quite honestly, Dwyer is probably, without a doubt, the best blocking running back on this team in pass protection, but I just... Collinsworth was just really going all over him, you know, like you wanted to ask him out on the date after the game or something.
Well, he may have, knowing Collinsworth. He is a bizarre dude, I'm telling you. this was a nutshell thing for me, because the knock on Dwyer over the last 2 years is that he gets winded so fast. So last night, he makes a play, and he takes himself out. And rather than Felix Jones being put in the game, they put in Isaac Redman. And what do you know? He misses the blitz pickup. Roethlisberger gets hit. The ball pops out, and game's over. I don't mean to blame that on Jonathan Dwyer, but if you're going to be any type whatsoever of a main back, a feature back, you can't leave the field every 2 to 3 plays. You've got to be able to go for a couple series, and okay, we'll get you a break here, we'll get you a break there. But, I mean, that was the most important point of the game right there. And if we had any chance, we had to have him on the field, or at least Felix Jones, because at least Jones gives you a little bit of a speed threat, but, you know, he doesn't block much better than Redmond. So, Dwyer is what he is. He came in, he had one nice run. The rest of his runs were very pedestrian. The guy I feel the most for is Le'Veon Bell, because I think there's a large portion of this fan base that just thinks he's going to come in and run off for 120 yards every game, and that's not going to happen, people.
Yeah, you're exactly right, and I think right now we as fans, you know, a lot of us are really trying to find something to pin our hopes on, and, you know, right now Heath came back, he's back thinking, are going to turn around. Well, you know, Heath did all right, and the guy's working himself back. So, you know, I mean, I love Heath Miller. He's my favorite player, but he's not the savior of this team. But, you know, I am super glad he's back, because he is, you know, in my mind, the best tight end in the league that the Steelers could ask for on their team. But right now, I think Le'Veon Bell is the only hope that this team has of a running game the rest of the season. If he comes to college, he's the speed, the power. Three-down back. The Steelers do not have a 3-down back on this team right now. Dwyer is certainly not a 3-down back. Felix could maybe be one, but, you know, as you said, he's not a decent guy picking up the pass rush. And Redmond is just Redmond. You know, just at this point, why even bother? So I guess I'm putting my hopes on Bell being able to come in and at least do something without having to go out of the game all the time. But, you know, from him, the conditioning, because he didn't play yet. I mean, yeah, he's working with the team and working out, but football shape isn't the same is be gym shape. We know that. So I guess I'm sort of hoping that Bell can come in and be the guy that they drafted him to be, but I'm certainly not banking on him saving our season, but I think it would be nice to get him in the game and say, all right, dude, here's the ball 25 times. Go, you know, go get us 120 yards every week. That's what you need out of this team. That's what Ben needs. That's what the offensive line needs, and they don't have it right now without him.
Well, no, and I mean, if he can come in and do all of the things that the other guys can do a little bit of, you know, block, blitz pick up, run the ball inside, run the ball outside, catch the ball, you know, if he's able to do some of those things, then it significantly opens up everybody else. Now it opens up Heath Miller. Now it opens up Antonio Brown and Emmanuel Sanders, and, you know, it creates an easier time play calling for Todd Haley. But they really, I mean, even if this season goes in the tank before he comes back, they need to see something from him, because we cannot go into 2014 without a running back. We've seen this happen the last 2 years now, and it just doesn't work.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, it's just like anything else. We're trying to find something to get our, you know, to look forward to. And, you know, maybe it is another missing piece. Heath coming back is a step in the right direction. Hopefully Bell can come in and give us a spark in the running game. That's another step in the right direction. And you're right. The ground game opens up everything. Play action, all the receivers, the tight ends. It gives the offensive line confidence because, you know, they are moving the ball. And there's nothing that gains the confidence of an offensive line more than just a punishing ground game, because that just fires them up. And this, and that, our line could definitely use a shot of confidence right now. That's just to say the least. Another positive I'll say right now as we start to wind this down, Sweejum. Man, am I glad we have this guy. I mean, it's just, you know.
Did you ever think you'd say that?
No, because, you know, when he came here, everybody was like, oh my God, this guy's terrible. He chokes in the big kick and all that, but, I mean, he's proven that nothing fazes him right now. He's just going to boot it wherever they put him up. He's going to make it, and that's, you know, he is absolutely the least of our problems right now. So I'm thankful that you know, Sushu is back there. But, you know, I don't know. I'm just right now. I'm just really hoping that this team can find a way to generate some offense without turning the ball over, and if they can do that, they have a good chance of beating the Vikings in London this weekend. I think, just to talk about this for a minute yet or so. The key to beating the Vikings is absolutely everybody and their brother knows it. It's stopping Adrian Peterson. If he gets loose and runs wild, we're dead. If we can keep him in check, I don't think that Christian Ponder can beat this team. And I say that just based on the fact that, you know, the secondary is playing reasonably well. Overall, Troy's playing well. So I think that they can confuse Ponder enough and keep him in check as long as they don't let Adrian Peterson get going, which would open up the play action for Ponder.
I totally agree with you, and you know, I think there's two other positives. I mean, the law of average says at some point this defense is going to get turnovers, and Adrian Peterson will put the ball on the ground. He has done it in the past. He did it again yesterday, and Christian Ponder, especially in pressure situations, does absolutely nothing to instill confidence in me or anybody else. And so therefore, yeah, I think this is an extremely winnable game. It's going to basically be a home game for the Steelers, even though they're technically the road game. They're going to have, I'm hearing, anywhere from 30 to 40,000 Steeler fans in that building in London. So, you know, the towels will be out. There's no reason they shouldn't be ready to go for this game. And you know, if they end up leaving this game at 0-4, then all bets are off, and I think just about anything is possible at that point, because we will have then entered really uncharted territory for the Steelers.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is a monster game. It's a must win. You know, there's no doubt about it. A must game, and, you know, this early in the season, it normally doesn't happen with Pittsburgh, but we all know it is. They've got to desperately get a win. And you're right. We have some people who listen to the show who are over in the UK. I have some friends who visit there from time to time. And that area is a hotbed for Steeler fans. So I fully expect to see just a boatload of terrible towels out there. The Steelers will definitely feel like they are in a home away from home. You know, if there's ever a time to get on a roll, you know, you get out of Pittsburgh, away from the media, away from everybody that's berating you and saying you, or, you know, telling you how bad you are, this is a time to do it. Come out here, Find a way to win. I don't care if you win by 40 or by 4. Just get a win. Get on a streak. You know, at least get on this. Hopefully, it's a catapult to get onto a win streak. But I think right now, more than anything, this team just they absolutely positively must win a game soon, just for the confidence of getting back to feeling like they are capable of beating someone. Because right now, they've shown they can't beat anybody, and you have to think that no matter what they tell you, their confidence is shaken.
And it's
at least I think so.
Well, no, I agree. I mean, it's been a long time since they've won a significant football game. We can talk about them beating Cleveland at the end of the year, but that didn't mean squat in the grand scheme of things. And of course, they lost the four preseason games, which really doesn't mean much either. But this team hasn't really won since the first half of last year. So we're closing in on a full calendar year since this team, finally started taking a slide. And confidence has to be a big issue. And certainly any time that they get a call that goes against them or a ball that bounces the wrong way, they're going to get their heads down. And that's where that leadership comes in that we've been talking about, that they desperately need somebody to step up. Because, as you said, if last night was a must-win, then Sunday becomes a what would you call it, like a mega must-win? I don't even know.
Ultra must-win.
There you
have
go.
To win. I don't know, dude. But yeah, I'm right with you. There's no doubt about it. If this team starts out 0-4, I just can't even imagine what the fan base is gonna do. I mean, people are already jumping off bridges right now. It'll just be ridiculous. But I think with that, we've kind of done our little state of the Steelers here, even though we weren't really planning, and I had notes for all kinds of stuff. We just kind of scrapped that, so.
Well, it happens, and you and I did not think we would be sitting here on a Monday night in late September talking about a team without a win, so sometimes you got to change course.
Yeah, you're exactly right, and hopefully, after we do the show, after the game this coming weekend, when we do the next show, we'll have some positive things to talk about. And honestly, I don't care how ugly it is, just get a win so we can talk about a win for once, because, we are seriously running out of bad things to talk about, so I'd rather talk about something positive. But you guys definitely check out SteelCityBlitz.com. Mark's putting out all kinds of articles. I've got one going out tomorrow. Follow us on Twitter. He's at Dad. The website is at SC Blitz. I am at Retro Rock City. And unless you got anything else, dude, I think we are about to wrap this thing up.
I think we're good. Keep checking in with us. Tweet us your comments, questions, anything, and we'll do our best to get that stuff answered and keep you informed and give you our opinions and thoughts on stuff, because that's what we do.
That's right, and we love doing it. So with that, I think we will wrap it up. Be sure and check us out on SoundCloud. That's where all of the podcasts are at, of course, on the website, the articles. There's like cool things going on. I've got some Steeler opportunity again. So with that, we will hopefully be talking about a win the next time we speak to you. So have a great week, and thanks for listening to The Blitz, presented by SteelCityBlitz.com.
Thanks for listening to The Blitz, a Pittsburgh Steelers fan podcast presented by SteelCityBlitz.com. Be sure and follow Mark on Twitter at SteelDad and Matt at RetroRockCity. If you'd like to be on the show or submit a question for us to discuss, just drop us a line on the website, www.SteelCityBlitz.com, and use the Contact Us link on the top right of the page, or you can just drop us a tweet. Steel City Blitz is an independent fan site not affiliated with the Pittsburgh Steelers or the National Football League. Our opinions are our own.